is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Bob Walsh from Providence College, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com. Hello, and welcome to the 29th edition of the Coach's Corner Roundtable on the Hoopheads podcast. Each episode of the Coach's Corner Roundtable will feature our all-star lineup of guests answering a single basketball question. A new Coach's Corner Roundtable will drop around the 15th of each month. May's roundtable question is, what is something that you used to believe about coaching that you have changed your opinion on over the course of your career? Our coaching lineup this month includes Eric Buehler from Chatfield High School, Matt Grahn from the University of Dallas, Bobby Jordan from Wagner College, Liz Kay from Wakona High School, Nick Legalbo from Lane Tech High School, Mark Schult from the University of West Georgia, Don Showalter from USA Basketball, John Schulman from the University of Alabama Huntsville, Bryce Simon from the Motor City Hoops Pod, Ito Singer from UNC Greensboro, Joe's Decision from Unleashed Potential, and Lee Swanson from Bunker Hill High School. Please enjoy this roundtable episode of the Hoopheads podcast, and once you're finished listening, please give the show a 5-star rating and review. If you're a basketball coach at any level, please check out our Hoopheads coaching mentorship program. You'll get matched with one of our experienced head coaches and develop a relationship that will help take your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset to another level. And don't forget to check out our Hoopheads Pod network of shows, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, Courtside Culture, and our team-focused NBA pods, Cavalier Central, Knuck If You Buck, 305 Culture, Daily Thunder, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, Lakers Fast Break, and At the Buzzer. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Now let's hear from our coaches about how they've changed their thinking over the course of their career. Eric Buehler, Chatfield Senior High School, Littleton, Colorado.
How's it going, Hoopheads? This is Eric Buehler at Chatfield Senior High. And this month's question was, what's something that we have changed our mind on since we started coaching. And I would say a big one for me is I've kind of changed my opinion of I can affect the game while it's happening very much. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of the work we do as coaches happens in the off season. It happens in practice. It happens in the preparation before the game and learning from the previous game. But as the game is actually happening, we have very little outcome. And I think that's helped me calm down and be more even keeled throughout the course of a game, realizing that there's not much I can do to change what's actually happening in the game other than maybe calling a few sets or calling a timeout here and there. But that's just kind of my opinion, and hope you all have a good rest of your day.
Matt Grind, recruiting coordinator at the University of Dallas.
One of the things I shared with Mike and Jason when I was a guest on the podcast was that I grew up my dad's gym, and my dad coached at a time where the prevailing model of coaching was what we probably nowadays would call the military style. A lot of yelling, a lot of, losing of tempers and almost using fear as the great motivator. And I believed that that was how things should be done, having witnessed not only my dad, but, you know, the other coaches of the time doing the same. What I knew in my heart of hearts was there was a better way. I just didn't know how to get there. I didn't have a framework, nor, you know, the experiences or research to back that up. Fast forward to my move here to Dallas, and I became a certified trainer for the Positive Coaching Alliance. It was really fascinating to me to dive into the research and watch and hear from high-level coaches who subscribe to PCA principles and see how effective it really was. So that belief has changed considerably. Again, early in my career, the belief was that you couldn't coach them hard unless you were on them all the time, telling them everything they're doing wrong. I don't believe that now. What I believe is I can still coach my guys hard. I can still tell them the truth. I can still get the best out of them and motivate them with positivity, catch them doing something right. Rewarded efforts get repeated. So, I want to see great effort rewarded. And therefore, I get that same effort again. So again, it's not all rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns, as some coaches would assume with positive coaching. It is really a way of building relationships so that you can tell the truth in order to get your kids to improve.
Bobby Jordan, Wagner College, Staten Island, New York.
One thing that I've really changed my opinion on during my coaching career is labeling players with numbers. Traditionally, you have a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 man on the court, and that's what a lot of us had all grown up knowing and using out on the court. I think now with players being, very diverse, having a bunch of different skill sets, it's really important not to label guys by numbers, but really just to have your best 5 players on the court and make it work both on the offensive and defensive ends.
Liz Kay from Wakona High School in Dalton, Massachusetts.
Hey guys, this is for your roundtable episode. Some things I used to believe about coaching that I've changed my opinion on over the course of my career. Number one, that you need to yell to gain a player's respect. Often saying nothing or speaking softly is more effective. Two, that you need to run lines as punishment or to get in shape. Be creative. Incorporate closeouts, transition drills, or more basketball movements, agility ladders, hurdles, etc. Number three, that post-game breakdowns are important directly after a game. Oftentimes, your kids just want to leave. Say a few words, give yourself the night to reflect, break down film, talk with your coaches, etc. They don't want to listen to you anyway at that point. Number four, be really good at a few things rather than mediocre at a lot of things, especially when overwhelmed at the start of a season when you only have about 2 weeks to prepare in the high school years. Number five, teach them how to play rather than getting bogged down with running too many plays. Number six, make time for skill work and fundamentals, as well as game situations in every practice. Thanks, guys.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com.
Nick LaGalbo, Lane Tech High School, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Nick LaGalbo from Lane Tech High School in Chicago. This month's roundtable question, what is something you used to believe about coaching that has changed or your opinion has changed over the course of your career? For me, I don't know, I used to really be tried and true guy who played all man-to-man defense at all times. Really believe that the elite level programs were able to win in the half court defending and just, you know, getting after it in their man-to-man concepts. But I think as I've grown over the years and learned that, you know, especially at the high school and even college levels, there's such a difference in talent level from game to game. There's a difference in programs that have had consistency from game to game. So having a good zone in your back pocket to change things up, change the flow of the game, impact rhythm is just so crucial. So I've implemented a lot more zone over the years, and I think that it's been a key to you know, our success. And I think that all young coaches should be mindful of having multiple different zones or different defenses to implement over the course of the year. So hope this helps. Excited to hear what everyone else has to say. Thanks.
Mark Schultz, University of West Georgia.
What's going on, Hoopheads? Mark Schultz, University of West Georgia. Thanks for having me on. This month's question, what is something you used to believe about coaching that you've changed your opinion on over the course of your career? I've got two things. You know, the first on the coaching side of it, I think a lot of people think that coaching has to do with X's and O's and defensive schemes and, you know, really putting in time in the gym to perfect your craft. And while those things are important, I found that, you know, communication and relationships with your team are really what's going to win you games more than anything else. I think the old saying is it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes. And I've found that to be true. The other thing for coaches about getting jobs, a lot of people say it's not what you know, it's who you know. While that is true, I think you can take it a step further and say it's not who you know, it's who knows you. You know, it's a relationship business, and you know, if you can be genuine and meet people and really impact people when you have interactions, I think ultimately that's what's going to give you more opportunities. So, thanks for having me on.
Don Showalter, USA Basketball.
Hi, Don Showalter here from USA Basketball. And the question for this month is, what is something I used to believe about coaching that has changed my opinion over the course of my career? Well, I think the first thing that I really changed my thoughts on coaching was when I first got into coaching, I was a new coach. I thought everything in coaching really revolved around what I knew as a basketball coach, X and O wise. And, you know, obviously the longer I coached, the more I realized that it's less about X's and O's and more about building relationships and motivation and, building a team and making sure that team plays together and being unselfish and having great teammates. on the court together. And then I think what happens is you get these players coming back that you have coached for many years, for several years, and they come back after they're grown up and have jobs, and they come back to you and say to you that the lessons they learned were unbelievably important in their jobs or their families or whatever it is. And those lessons are not X's and O's. Those lessons are what's you do as a coach off the court. So I think as a young coach, that really changed my complexion of what a coach was. Going into it, I thought it was, hey, if we can do a lot of X's and O's, if we can, you know, if we can run an offense, if we can have a defensive plan, that's the most important thing. And then obviously the longer I coached, it certainly switched to being secondary with what happens with your team. Thank you.
John Shulman, University of Alabama Huntsville and the 720 Sports Group.
This is John Shulman, head basketball coach at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. And the question really is, what's something that I believed in that has kind of at the start of my coaching career and has changed through the course of my coaching career? And really X and O wise, I've really stayed pretty basic in my beliefs. A lot of people have changed their opinion on with the three-point line coming in and changed how they want to guard the three-point line. And I've stayed very consistent on what I believe in. But the biggest thing that I've changed, and I think over time, is I used to think talent cured everything. And if the kid was talented, you could overlook his issues, or if the kid was talented, you could overlook him being late for practice, or just talent prevailed. And if you had more talent than the other team, you were going to win the game because your kids were more talented. And I would see a red flag, and I would make an excuse for a red flag, and I would do anything that you could do to try to get as much talent on your team as you could. And what I have learned through the years is, and it's true, talent's overrated. I think you have to be talented and you got to be good, but if it doesn't have the same beliefs you have, and if they don't have character and they don't do things the right way, I promise you, you cannot win. You may win some, but they're going to let you down in a big game if they don't have unbelievable character, they don't have amazing belief in doing the right thing, and it's just not going to work. So talent is the big thing that I have changed. Give me a kid who's got amazing work ethic, because if you've got talent and you don't work, it doesn't matter. If you don't have as much talent and you have amazing work ethic, you'll pass that guy up who has no work ethic, who has talent. So you give me a kid that's got amazing work ethic, that's got a will to win and a will to get better, and he wants to be in your basketball program, sign me up. Now, that's a 54-year-old coach talking. I wish I had known that when I was 34 or 24. So hopefully maybe this can help somebody. Appreciate your time. And I appreciate what Mike does for all of us. Thanks.
Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website, and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit SnapRaise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time. Bryce Simon from Motor City Hoops.
This is Bryce Simon from Motor City Hoops, high school assistant coach right now, coach boys and girls high school. And this week's question is, what is something you used to believe about coaching that you have changed your opinion on over the course of your career? And I would say whenever I first came into coaching, I thought because I knew X's and O's and understood the game, I would be a good coach. I played college basketball for 4 years, played under a great coach in Jeff Jones at American University, and he was a very good X and O's guy. So I was going to take all these plays that we ran at Division I and were successful with, and I was going to bring them to the high school game. And I quickly realized it didn't matter how good of a play I could draw up. I could have all the best sets in the world. If you don't have players to execute it, and they don't have the fundamentals to execute it, it's not going to matter. And then also at the end of the day, if they can't make the shot at the end, even if they can do everything up until that point, it also doesn't matter. The other thing I realized is if you don't have players who could break offense and go make a play when defense is pressured, then you were also, it didn't really matter. We would work on all these sets. I wasted so much time in practice working on set plays and offenses and running good stuff. And then we'd get in games and a team would just get out in passing lanes and we didn't know how to run a simple back door, or they'd get up and pressure the ball and we couldn't go by. So I thought because I could draw up great things to make my players successful that that's all I needed to do, and I was completely wrong. So over the years I've completely went away from plays and just transitioned into teaching our players how to play the game. Can you dribble? Can you pass? Can you shoot? Those are the biggest things. I know it sounds simple, but if you can go by your man, if you can make the right read and make the right pass, and if you can make a shot, then you can, and if all five of the people on the floor, players on the floor can do that, then you can have a successful offense. I mean, we started playing a lot of pickup games. I know that's kind of taboo, but if you run controlled pickup games, I feel that that can be very beneficial to your program and your team, because those players get put in those situations where they have to make live decisions on whether I shoot, where do I drive it, who do I pass to, when do I go backdoor, how do I make this cut. And I just don't think that you can always do those things in drills. And even, you know, maybe 2-on-2, 3-on-3, but we play a lot of 5-on-5 pickup and just work on those fundamentals. So I believe that no matter what level an individual player is at, teaching them how to play the game, not only is it better, I think in the long run, maybe not at the very beginning, but in the long run, it's either easier than teaching them those sets and those plays.
Ito Singer from the University of North Carolina, Greensboro.
Hey everyone, this is Ito Singer from UNCG Women's Basketball, and what a great question. So happy to share this, my first time answering this question, this roundtable question. So one thing that I have had the chance to revisit as I got more and more into learning and challenging the norms of yesteryear is the notion that I've heard as a player, and I've heard a lot of coaches, and I've even said that myself to a lot of players when I was first coming up in this business, and that is to square up your feet to the basket. This shooting tip, to me, is detrimental to shooting, and I'll explain. I believe that when you square up your feet to the basket, you're attempting to square up the middle of your body with the middle of the rim. Now, the problem is we are either right-handed or left-handed, which basically means that your shot comes from the side of your body for the most part. It doesn't really come dead center. It's more to the right or more to the left of center. And so by squaring up, I believe that we're standing in a very unnatural, uncomfortable position, trying to bring the ball from one side to the middle. What I've been telling players to do is to turn their hips a little bit and square up your shooting hip to the basket. So for right-handed players, turn a little bit and point your right side of the hip to the basket. And so by doing that, all you have to do is just shoot the ball straight from that position. It's more comfortable, it's more natural, and it's more accurate. And if you look at the best shooters in the world, your Steph Currys, your Kevin Durants, they are all turn shooters. They all turn. There are very few good shooters that are completely squared up to the basket. And so by learning and studying all the great shooters out there, I've learned that this was old advice that used to just give players without really giving it too much thought because it was told to me. And so that is an old misconception about coaching that I would love to change. And I'd love to challenge coaches to think outside that box and really consider all the things that we tell our players. Are those things that we know for a fact that are going to make them better? Or are we just regurgitating things that coaches used to think were true 20, 30 years ago that we may have heard ourselves from one of our old coaches? Thanks for letting me share.
Joe Stasizian, Unleashed Potential, Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Joe Stasizian, Unleashed Potential. This month's question is, what is one of the things that you used to believe about coaching that you changed your opinion over through the course of your career? I would say, for me, I was a public high school coach at a big school in Pennsylvania, Carlisle High School in Pennsylvania. And one of the things that I think as a young coach, when I first came into coaching, I had a system. And I thought that every year, regardless of the talent or the makeup of my team, I would run that system. But as I got into coaching more and got more experienced, I started to learn that you really have to develop your system based around the players that you have for that year. In public school, it's a little bit different than private or prep school where, you know, you might be able to recruit in those situations. But in public schools in Pennsylvania, you basically, you know, you have to take what you're given. So very quickly, I learned that some years I had some different players and may have athletic players the one year, the next year may have players who weren't quite as athletic, and realized very quickly that I couldn't always run the same system. Now, you could always run parts of the same system, you know, and tweak some things, but you really, you know, you had to develop every year. We had to reevaluate every year what our approach was going to be that year, offensively, defensively, based on the talent or the players that we had. And I think that's a lesson that I learned very quickly that I think, you know, was really, really good for me in terms of my coaching and my philosophy to be able to develop and tweak things based on the talent that I had in a public school. So I think early on, that was one of the biggest things that I learned that I had to change very quickly in my career. And I still feel that way today, that you have to coach your team based on who you have. I think that is very, very important. You have to be flexible and be able to do that. I know some coaches get locked into a certain system, and that may work sometimes, but I'm not so sure that works with the talent that you have year in and year out, or the lack of talent that you may have year in and year out in a public school situation. The other thing that I learned very early was that you have to be yourself. You know, when I first got into coaching as a young coach right out of college, you know, there were certain coaches that I looked up to, that I emulated, that I wanted to be like. And again, as time went on, I started to learn that, you know, you need to be yourself, number one. Now, you're also able to, you know, take from different coaches and different philosophies. And as I coached through my career, I started to take from many, many, many different coaches. You know, you always say that, you know, everybody steals from everybody else. You know, you might have some of your own ideas, but most coaches will take a piece from this coach or a piece from that coach. And, you know, I think that's a good way to do it. And it still allows you to be yourself and coach with your own personality. You can't just take on the personality of another coach, like a high level coach that you emulate or you would like to be like, or someone that you really admire. So I think that was another lesson that I learned through my coaching career and how I changed my belief as time went on. And then, one or two more things. I would say most coaches, and, you know, I probably would have fit into this too. When you're first coming out of college and you're coaching, I call it the good coach versus a nice coach, in which you have to learn or you grow into being a good coach rather than a nice coach. You know, a nice coach will allow players to do whatever they want to do, and players will do what you allow them to do. And, you know, I really believe, you know, it's been, you know, later in my career, I'm no longer coaching on a team level. I'm into player development. But now, I really, really talk about this all over the country and all over the world, that you have to hold kids accountable. You can't be a nice coach. You need to be a good coach. And that, you know, accountability is not something you do to players, but it's something that you do for players. So I think you develop that throughout your career, and I definitely speak about that now to young coaches, just so they understand that I call it the price of nice. The price of nice, but not holding kids accountable, will come back to bite you at some point. You know, I'm a firm believer, and especially like your best players, you have to learn to coach them harder than anybody else on the team. So, you know, going through my career, I think with most young coaches, young teachers, maybe they come out wanting to be liked right away by their players or the students, but you have to develop that accountability and being a good coach versus a nice coach. And that's pretty much it in terms of, you know, some of the things that I would like to share with everybody. So thank you very much.
Lee Swanson, Bunker Hill High School, Claremont, North Carolina.
I would say maybe some of the things that I don't believe now that I believe early in coaching would deal really in a lot of how we do things. I think early on you envision for your program that you're going to go in and work so hard that you're going to work so hard that no other program can do what you're doing. And I certainly think we want to work harder than any other program, and that's a goal, and hopefully we are doing those things. There's a lot of other really good programs that are going to work really, really, really hard. You better work really hard and really smart. Hopefully we'll have some talent to work with and have some talented players. I think all those things go into building a winning program. And I think as you get older, you realize there's a lot that goes into it. Working hard is the base, but there's a lot more that goes into it. I think with that, you realize that it can't be a grind all the time. Nobody wants to live life like that. So working smarter, you know, there's times we want to grind and sometimes the work is really, really hard. And, you know, I think your players understand that, but it needs to be fun. It needs to be something they enjoy going to. And, you know, nobody wants to live their life on a grind 24/7. We want to work really, really hard and really, really smart. So I think more than anything, we've just learned that there's got to be some balance and we've got to work hard, but we also got to work smart and use our time efficiently.
Thanks for checking out this month's Hoopheads Podcast Roundtable. We'll be back next month with another question for our all-star lineup of coaches.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.